which has been my students' opportunity to have their voice heard and have their input in a larger conversation about education.
Hey, if you could ask your students one simple question to connect deeper with them, what would that be? We're talking about it next on the Bedley Brothers.
And now it's time for another Edulicious episode of the Bedley Brothers podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bedley.
Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, yep. Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bedley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others. Yep. With Tim and
welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Tim Bedley. I'm one of your hosts. I'm a fifth grade teacher in Southern California, in actually Lake Elsinore. And I've been teaching for 30 years and feel like I'm just getting started. And Scott, why don't you tell them a little about yourself?
Hey, Tim, this is my 25th year, bro. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I think I've officially arrived as a teacher. Hey, listen, I teach. I'm going to be a 4-5 combination class coming up this year again. And I'm excited to teach in Southern California as well. And we're excited that you're listening to the show today.
Yeah. And Scott, why don't you get us started by giving us a little tip for teachers? You've been doing this for a long time. And I'm sure that you've got some good ideas that we can share with everybody.
Yeah. So Flipgrid's like fever is out there and everyone's crazy about Flipgrid. So I think this year I'm going to use it and combine it with a little bit of Brent Coley, our good friend and principal out your way. His idea of doing a video tour of the classroom at the beginning of the year to share that out. So I think I'm going to use Flipgrid, do a little bit of a tour, but I'm going to ask the kids the question that Kyle's going to teach us about today and have them share a little bit before the year even starts by putting a video response in that's private, because you can do that on Flipgrid and then do a video response from home and kind of get to know the kids a little bit better before the year starts.
Ooh, Flipgrid, using Flipgrid for our topic today. I love it.
Yeah, baby. And they're not a sponsor. We're not paid. This is purely out of the love for the teachers out there.
Yeah, and we're going to find out later on that we're going to be promoting other things as well that we're not sponsored by. But if you guys want to sponsor us, you just let us know.
Global School Play Day.
All right. So today on our show, we have the one, the only Kyle Schwartz with us. She is a third grade teacher in the Denver public school system. But more than that, well, I shouldn't say more than that, because that's what it's all about, is what happens in the classroom. But she is also the author of the book, What I Wish My Teacher Knew, How I Can Change Everything, How One Question Can Change Everything for Our Kids. She started this movement in 2015 with some tweets. It went viral. Everybody went crazy over it. So she ended up writing a book about it. She's now working on a new book on student empowerment. And we are so thrilled to talk to Kyle today on the show. Welcome.
Hi.
All right, Kyle. So why don't you get us started and just tell us how all of it got started with you in terms of this movement?
Well, like you said, I am a school teacher in a public school system. And, you know, our school has a lot of great things going on, but we also have some challenges. You know, about 90% of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch. About, 30% of our students are, between 25 and 30%. Have special needs, and then another around 50 to 60% speak English as an additional language. So, there's a lot of challenges that our school faces, and there's a lot of strengths that come with those challenges. But I had been doing this lessons since my first year of teaching, and I started off by just writing on the board, I wish my teacher knew, and passing out post-it notes and having kids answer the question. And from there, I learned a lot about my students, and it became, an entry point for me to find out what they needed, to find out what realities they were facing, and to learn a little bit more about how I could respond to them. So it was a great lesson, but I didn't share it with anyone. I just kind of kept it to myself, didn't even tell the teacher next door about it. But I had just gotten on Twitter a couple years later, and I found one of the notes in my kitchen. And I just thought, like, wow, there's something worth sharing here. If other teachers did this, they could have the same response and same relationship building that I did. So I took a picture of the note I found in my kitchen, and from there it just blew up and went viral. And now I've had teachers from literally all over the world contacting me, telling me they've done this lesson with students and that it's made such a difference in their classrooms.
Oh, very cool. And can you share with the audience, what did that note say, or do you remember what that note said?
Yeah, the note that I found said, "I wish my teacher knew I don't have pencils at home to do my homework." And I think that's a reality for a lot of students in America, that they just do not have what they need to be successful at school. And sometimes it's something as small as a pencil. Sometimes it's, you know, a larger issue. But as teachers, as educators, you know, we have to respond to that. And we really need to ask questions like these so that our students can answer, but we need to really listen so that they'll be heard.
And how did that change you as an educator, just starting to, you said you've been doing it since your first year teaching, but how did it impact you as an educator? Because I know for me, I tend to, you know, I'm very task oriented. I get into the teaching. I'm thinking about the objective that I want the kids to learn. I'm thinking about all the things I want to train them and being responsible, all this stuff. And it's really easy to get away from just that connection with the kids and being compassionate, understanding where they're coming from, that they don't all come from great homes and walk into the classroom. I mean, did that have an impact on you?
Yeah, it certainly had an impact. So there was definitely a genre of notes like that that said, you know, I don't have pencils at home, or I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. But there were other things that came up that just brought awareness to me, like kids saying, like, you know, I worry about my parents breaking up, or, you know, I haven't seen my dad in 6 years because he was deported. Like those type of things. You know, as a teacher, you might know about some of them, but you don't realize how close under the surface they are for kids. So, you know, as teachers, yes, we're like educating, but the bigger umbrella that we're under is child development. And so if we can constantly in our mind go back to that, like, we're doing child development, and that does mean academics, but it also means like helping kids through a hard time, helping kids find their passions, helping kids, you know, be creative, and all that follows under the umbrella of our teaching. So that's really how it changed my teaching, is to bring awareness to me about what my students are going through.
Yeah, Kyle, I think it's really amazing that something that's so simple, just that one easy question, could, you know, open this whole viewpoint that I think a lot of us do just get into the weeds of the curriculum and the content and things like that. But I love that you bring out this concept that we are about child development, not just about instruction. So you start the year off on this. Do you establish relationships first? Like, where does this fit into your year, I guess?
Yeah. So for me, it kind of depends on the group of kids. I mean, all teachers know, like, group dynamics are a real thing, and you've kind of got to be responsive to the class that's in front of you. So the things that worked last year might not work again this year. So I kind of let the kids guide me. Now, I will say this. This is not something I do on the first day of school. It's definitely something I wait until there is a level of trust and relationships established to do it. The other thing that surprises a lot of people is they think that, like, what my students have told me or what students would respond to this are all like secrets. Like, they don't want anyone to know this. But the truth is that, you know, kids kids really want to be able to share what they're going through with each other. So what happened in my classroom was, 1 year I started it and I like write what your teacher knew and turn it in. And then the kids were like, well, when are we going to share what we wrote? When are we going to say this to the class? And so I just kind of went along with them, and we sat on the rug in a circle, and anybody who wanted to share shared. And, you know, they shared, you know, hard things. Like, you know, one student said, I wish my teacher knew that I don't have a friend to play with me, you know, and the class was able to respond to that. Another kid, you know, might say things like, I wish my teacher knew I want to learn more about history, or I want to learn more about, you know, computers. So they really wanted to share with each other and connect to each other. So I think that that's a great option for teachers, is to give kids options if they do this lesson to either share it, you know, anonymously with you, but to give them the choice to share it with their class.
Now, I'm sure some of our listeners would be curious about this. It's definitely impacted you as a teacher and your relationship with your kids. But how did having something like this go viral change you as an educator in terms of your ability to impact? We know that you ended up writing a book because of it. Has anything else changed in your life personally because this went viral? I mean, did it open up opportunities to do staff development? You know, were you on any TV shows or anything like that? You know, how did things roll out for you?
Yeah, I would say how much it changed my, like, my personal life, not that much. You know, I'm still a public school teacher full time. Like, that's my love. That's what I want to be doing. It did kind of teach me that there are these things in all of our classrooms that we're doing really well. And I think as teachers, we just kind of keep it to ourselves a lot, or we shut our classroom doors. But if you share that thing, you know, you can help so many people. So I really feel like there's probably something in every teacher's classroom that could, quote, go viral, because it's such a great idea. So it really helped me to encourage me to share that. As far as opportunities to continue sharing what's going on in my classroom, yeah, writing a book has been amazing. And for me, it was such great personal development, professional development, because I had to like go through and research, like, are these things that I'm experiencing in my classroom anecdotal, or is there a larger story? So that has been really cool. And then I have been able to go around and talk with, you know, districts or organizations about realities that kids are facing, about what's really happening in our schools, but really with the message that we have to value those relationships, and that kids really need that from us. So there's been a lot of great things that have happened from it, not least of which has been my students' opportunity to have their voice heard and have their input in a larger conversation about education. But really, it just taught me, like, we have so much to share as teachers. And I encourage all teachers to, you know, share what's working in their classroom.
Hey, Kyle, is there any concern from, like, parents about asking this question, or, like, other administrator? Like, you know, I could see people getting all like, oh, you shouldn't pry into kids' lives, and how dare you? And it's like, and to me, it's that relationship doesn't happen, and they're not going to share things that they wouldn't normally share just through voice or something like that. But is there anything that you've experienced like that?
As far as any like pushback from my school or my students or their families, like, none at all. Like, they all see the value of, you know, having their kid have a trusted teacher at school. You know, they're so the value of education is so strong with the community that I serve. So they really have embraced it and really enjoyed it. I think, some fear around educators to say, like, there is a school world and there is a home world, and I don't want to cross that bridge. But the truth is, like, there's no magical device that is removing, like, a child's lived experience when they come to school. Right. So either you're going to ignore it or you're going to respond to it. There's no, like, walking with your eyes closed through it. Like, you're at some point just ignoring what kids are really going through. So I think that if you're in a school that is a little, you know, hesitant to do this relationship building work, you know, I mean, I would push back against that and say, like, this is what we're here for. We, you know, we want kids to find a sense of belonging in our classrooms. We want kids to find a sense of community. So I think that's really what is important about me for this project.
For sure.
Now,
agree.
Excellent. Yeah, that's beautiful. You wrote a book on this, and it's more than just ask this question.
Yeah.
So,
well, there is a
listeners want to purchase your book. You know, what's in there that you what else? What other topics do you share on that are going to impact the classroom in the book?
Yeah. So there is a detailed lesson guide in the book. So if you really would like to teach this I Wish My Teacher Knew lesson and you want to know more about it, that's in there. But the whole book is kind of structured around chapters that are like student needs. So like what needs could students present to you with these notes? So there's a chapter on student mobility. There's a chapter on poverty, on grief, on trauma, because, you know, kids might respond to you with questions about that. So what I did with each chapter is I, you know, took a look at anecdotally the stories that are happening in my classroom. And then I found the research on it. Like, is this happening in more classrooms or, you know, is this happening nationwide? And then what are some strategies that real teachers can use to respond to it? You know, like what could a real teacher do in a situation when a kid comes and there's been a death in their family? Mm-hmm. What could a real teacher do in a situation where, you know, a student might have to be moving a lot? So that's the structure of the book. But what has been so exciting is that not only are schools getting the book and doing staff development around it, and there's even been whole school districts that have gotten the book and done staff development around it, but it's making its way into teacher preparation courses in colleges. And that to me is so encouraging because for me, when I was, you know, in school to become a teacher, the emphasis was on like discipline and classroom management, but it wasn't on relationship and community building. So I'm already seeing a shift in how we're changing how we're training our teachers to really focus on those relationships in that community. And there's schools and school districts and individual teachers all over the world that are saying like, hey, this is what's important for us.
Yeah, I know when you have a caring, trusting environment, the kids want to perform and the discipline issues basically are like a whisper over on the side, hey, I need you back on task. And they're like back on task. And it changes the whole feel of your classroom when that comes to be like the head of it. It's not a control-based environment. It's a loving, caring-based environment where kids want to be. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Now you've got a new book that you're working on. Can you give us what that's going to be about?
Well, my publisher came to me and he said that he kind of wanted to meet the moment on what's happening right now with students around student voice and student activism and how there's kind of the surgence of young people, you know, standing up and saying, I care about this. I, you know, want my voice heard. I want to make an impact. So, with that context in mind, we came up with an idea for a book around power and helping kids feel more powerful, to feel empowered and make a difference in the world. So that has been really interesting to research and write about, like, well, if we want empowered students who feel like, you know, they're confident and can make a difference, what are moves that caring adults can make to help that? Like, what are foundational skills to feeling powerful? So that's what I'm working on all summer long. And I'm excited for that to be out probably back to school time next year.
Wow. Hey, you heard it here first, or at least early.
Exclusive first.
Bradley Brothers.
All right, Kyle. Well, we're going to probably switch gears with you right now, if that's okay. We could talk to you all day long about this stuff. It's so near and dear to our hearts, just that, you know, connection, that relationship piece with students. But we're going to play a little game with you. And so we know that you made a huge impact on the world, getting kids to tell their teachers their wishes.
Okay.
What they wish their teacher knew. So today we're going to ask you some questions about another kind of wish, wish.com.
Okay.
No Googling.
No Googling. We're calling our, you can pull up your Wish app on your phone there. We're calling our little game, What I Wish Wish.com Didn't Sell.
Got it. I'm on board.
All right.
What I Wish Wish.com Didn't Sell.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So Scott, tell our audience who Kyle's going to be competing for today.
Kyle, you'll be competing for Kathy Brome. I think I said that correct.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
She's a fourth grade teacher in Denver, Colorado. If you're able to answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly, that's 66%. Kathy will be awarded a free download of an album by the ridiculously popular edgy-rock band Rockin' the Standards.
All
right. Oh, man.
She's on.
We haven't recorded in a while, and I just miss hearing you say these things, Scott. I mean,
you can call me anytime, and I'll just say it to you.
Just say, hey, Scott, can you say all that stuff from the Bedley Brothers show? So, Kyle, what we're going to do today is share with you 2 different possible Wish.com products. This is a little different than we usually do. One of them is actually for sale on Wish.com, and the other one is made up.
All right.
All you have to do is spot the fake product, or you can tell us the real one. You know, just you have to distinguish which one is the real one, which one did we make up. So are you ready? Here we go with your first question.
All right.
So Scott's going to tell you each one of the products, and you have to decide which one's real and which one's fake. So Scott, what is our first product here?
Presidential toilet paper for only $3. You can be wiping away with toilet paper covered with your favorite politician, like Obama, Trump, you name them. Or...
No, Scott, what's our second choice here?
Trump tennies. For only $10, you can sport a new pair of Trump tennies. The shoes come with Trump's face on the sole, so you can walk all over him all day long.
So believe it or not, one of those two is something you can actually buy on Wish.com, and the other one isn't.
Wipe or walk.
Is it the paper or is it the tennies?
I'm not confident that either of those are necessary products at all, but I think that the real product is the toilet paper.
Well, guess what? Go to wish.com right now and you can buy yourself some toilet paper because that's.
Oh, yes. I've been looking for a way to spend my generous teaching salary. So that is it.
All right. Well, maybe you can get a roll and put it in the staff bathroom or something. here we go with question number 2. Question number 2. Our first product is
bottle cap opener and shooter. For only the cost of shipping, you could be opening your next bottle and then shooting the cap at your friends who stand over 5 meters away.
All right. And our
open product, the bottles and then shoot the cap.
Our second product is
a TV remote bumper. Now you can throw your TV remote at the TV and not worry about breaking anything. The TV remote bumper sells for a small price of $2 plus shipping and handling, which is $75. Tim, which is the fake? Oh, yes.
So, Kyle, which one is the real one? Which one is the fake one? You have the bottle cap opener and shooter or the remote TV remote bumper.
Which one is the fake one?
Which one is the fake one or which one is the real one?
Now, I think that... there was a hint in your description because you said stand 5 meters away. You use there the metric system. And I think that the bottle cap shooter was probably not made and manufactured in the United States. So that's a good hint. I think that it's the bottle cap shooter is the true product.
Well, there's a second product that you can buy on Wish.com. There you go. You got it right.
Oh, crushing it.
Okay. Well, here's your third and final choice between two products. Scott, what's our first product?
It's a good one, Tim. Toenail remover. Need some new toenails? For only $5, you can purchase this gold-plated, cosmetologist-approved toenail remover and get off to a new start.
And the second product is?
Look Young Silicone Mouth. For only $1 plus shipping. Is this really wish.com? this is a great site. For only $1 plus shipping, you can look young again with this new silicone rubber face slimmer, massaging, muscle tightening, anti-aging, anti-wrinkling mouth device.
Wow.
Okay, so believe it or not, one of those is real. Is it the toenail remover or is it the anti-aging mouth? Or you can tell us which one you think is fake.
Okay, so I think that the mouth device, as it was called, that seems like a little too specific to be made up. So I think that the face mouth device is the real product.
Well, you're right again.
It's yes! 3 for 3.
It's like way bigger than your mouth should be. And you know those like gripper things that, you know, improve your muscles in your forearm?
Oh, well, God.
Your mouth and you chomp down on it, which then improves the muscles in your face. So theoretically.
Wow.
Without eating, too. That's probably a good thing.
Oh, you wouldn't want to put food in that thing.
Kyle, I think you're the first person to get 100% in quite a while.
Oh, my gosh. That fills my heart with joy. I am so excited about this.
And we've had, like, top researchers from, like, UCLA and Harvard. And
they couldn't pass the Badley Brothers test.
No.
Took a third grade teacher to do it. I'm going to wear that proudly.
So, Scott, what are our results here?
Good job, Kyle. You got 3 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Woo!
Yeah, congratulations. Woo! Kyle, you actually won nothing. But Kathy, she just won a free download of Rockin' the Standards album, Education Rock and Roll Music for 2nd through 6th graders, and it's awesome.
Oh, she's got to be thrilled.
Woo!
Share it with you. All right. So, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on the show. Can you let our listeners know how they can follow up with you in terms of websites? You know, if you want to give your email address, Twitter accounts, anything like that, that people can learn more from you.
So I would say I wish my teacher knew book.com is where you can find information about the book. Or you can, you know, find it's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, your local independent bookseller too. And then if you want to connect with me on Twitter, it's Kyle M as in monkey Swartz. Or I just started this summer. I just started Instagramming. I know I'm a little behind, but I would love to, connect with people on Instagram too. So that is Kyle M Swartz as well. So I look forward to hearing the Badley Brothers community. I want to hear from them.
Ooh. And Schwartz is SCHWARTZ, right?
Yes, it is. It starts SCH like school, and then you write the word war, you turn it into the word art, and end it with Z, just like the alphabet. That's how I teach the kids, and they get it on the first day. They always tell me right.
Awesome. That's a lot of consonants in one name, I'll tell you that much.
It sure is. It sure is.
All right. And Scott,
how do you teach it, Tim? You say what you sleep in and then L-E-Y?
I tell that's exactly it because they always write Bentley. You know, I'm like, what you sleep in? somehow we – anyway. Scott, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about one of our huge passions, Global School Play Day.
Yeah, we started this back in 2015 as well, Kyle. It's we saw the need for kids just to have a time for unstructured play. There was all kinds of links to negative impacts on kids' lives. The research is out there. Go read it. Global School Play Day is the first Wednesday in February. Last year, we had almost 400,000 kids in the fourth year from 58 nations taking the day. Their teacher said, we're going to take that day. We're going to register online at globalschoolplayday.com. We're going to say, we believe that kids need to be able to play for that healthy development. And it's been an amazing run and movement. We're talking with some really awesome companies about helping promote it as well. It's going to stay pure and a grassroots effort, but we are excited that it really is a global movement, Tim, and teachers are all around the world are saying, we need our kids to have play. And that day of awareness is just meant to kick off many days of play for kids, so they are having that healthy balance.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about it the other day in a conversation I was having with somebody about Global School Play Day, because I always feel for some reason like I have to defend it. You know, like we're taking a whole school day just to have kids play. And it just dawned on me that, you know, like Kyle's been talking about today, we're in the job of child development. And part of our job when kids come to school is sharing with them, educating them on things that they are not aware of currently. And it's crazy how many kids in our culture today do not know what unstructured play is. They never play. They just never go and play outside or grab all their toys and start playing. They're either on a device or they're going to some sort of practice that's organized by an adult. It's never like just go out and figure out how to entertain yourself. And so by taking that day, what we're saying is we're going to show you what it's like to play, you know, for an extended period of time. And it's amazing the stories that come out of that day with kids saying like, oh, that was the greatest day of my life. When can we do it again? And I always tell them, I don't know if you do, Scott, but I always tell them every single day after I dismiss you from school, that's when you
Absolutely. Hey, Tim, I'm looking at the sign up list right now. Like 20 plus states already signed up for next February. India, Canada, UK, Turkey, Mexico, Italy, Pakistan, Kuwait. Hey, listen, if you're listening to this, Thailand, there's so many different nations, 58 nations. There's no excuses. If you're listening, tell a friend, tweet it out, share it out on Facebook. Let's get to the million kid mark at least. Just playing one day. Give it up.
Right on. So go to globalschoolplayday.com to register. It doesn't cost anything to register. We don't make anything that made a single penny on any of this stuff. The only thing that happens is that kids play and they learn more about what life should be about and develop more of a healthy psyche, you know, from just getting out and playing. So, yeah, go check that out. And you can see the research. You can see the video that started the movement from Peter Gray. You can learn from other educators on the topic. And it's a great, great movement. So thank you so much again, Kyle, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
We hope that we can connect with you again sometime. And we can't wait for our audience to get to learn from you. So we appreciate you taking the time. And thanks for watching. Also,
Mom.
Our mom and
Dad.
Love you.
Thanks for watching, Mom and Dad.
And you're done. I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley brothers. Yeah. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers.